Well, again, let me just say thank you so much to Aaron and to the team for leading us in worship, helping us, guiding us. And let's just take up those words and make it a prayer for ourselves. Father, we do pray that you would take these ancient words, words that you have given us, so that we can know you better, so that we can serve you better. We pray that you will take them, and we pray that you would allow them to change us, allow them to make us more like the Lord Jesus, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, and you can turn to 2 Timothy 3, that will help as we work our way through this passage. And for those of you that are here regularly, you're going to say, oh, but you've missed out a big chunk. Well, don't worry about that. Martin's going to be preaching from chapter 2 next week. But these verses seem much more appropriate for us as we think of Mission Sunday. It's wonderful, wasn't it, to hear of the missionaries that you are sending out. But did you notice how many of those are going to countries where it's very difficult to be a Christian? And this passage talks so much about that. 150 years ago this year, in fact, on the 14th of September, 1869, a man called Nan Chai and another man called Noi Soon Ya were led out into a forest just some distance away. About 24 hours before that, they had two pieces of wood tied around their necks. It was called a death yoke, tied so tightly that they could hardly breathe. And then these guys had big holes in their ears back 150 years ago. That was obviously what happened. They had big holes in their ears, and ropes were tied through those around the wood so that they couldn't move their heads. Even at nighttime, when it came to sleep, they could not put their heads down. Those men were then taken out into the forest, and they were beaten to death with clubs. Many of you will know this story, because these two men were the first Thai martyrs in Chiang, or the first two Chiang Mai martyrs who gave their lives for the Lord Jesus. And they were killed just not very many miles from here. They did not sign up for this. They signed up to be followers of Jesus. But because of the choice that they made, these two gave the ultimate price of dying for their Lord Jesus. If you go online, you can look up Chiang Mai Martyrs, and there's a passage there that tells us that a few days before his death, Nan Chai wrote these words. A lady called Mrs. Wilson had asked him to write some words so that she could send a specimen of Lao writing. 150 years ago, people up here were called Lao, and it was the Lao language. And this is what he wrote. He wrote, Nan Chai Dai Rap Pen Sit Liao Hak Yezu Nak. Now, sorry about the Thai. Which means Nan Chai has become a disciple. He loves Jesus much. And then when Nan Chai was actually taken out and was about to be killed, he realized that he and his comrade were doomed. He said to the officer, you will kill us and we are prepared. But I beg of you, do not kill those who are in the employ of missionaries. They are not Christians and they are not prepared to die. The writing goes on to say, what a triumph of faith in this once fearful disciple. What a noble forgetfulness of self in the earnest request for the lives of others. How can this be? How can it be that someone who lives for the Lord Jesus would end up being persecuted and facing death? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:10 to 17. Let me read that to you. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're horrified, aren't we? Every time we hear of a Christian that has faced persecution, it shouldn't happen, should it? But do you know, for those of us who live in Thailand or come from the USA or from the UK, we are the very fortunate ones. And in fact, in the UK, even Christian rights are being eroded now. You see, we live there in freedom, and we live here in freedom, and we can meet together. We know that nobody's going to come and stop us. And we can share our faith, and nobody's going to stop us to do that. But the Bible tells us this is not the norm. This is unusual. What is usual is that we would face persecution. In fact, there, if you look in verse 12, it says, in fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Today, I just want us to look at 2 points. First of all, to see there is a cost to service. And secondly, to see the value of the message that we take. We know that Paul is now in prison, and Paul knows himself he's just about to face death himself. But we also know that ever since Paul became a Christian, he had an incredibly tough life. Just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at 2 Corinthians. We read that long list of all of the things that he has faced: shipwrecks, imprisonments, persecution, and beatings. And then Paul, talking to Timothy, says, listen, you know my way of life. You know how I have been. You know that my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. I've always sought to reflect the gospel. I've always tried to be a reflection of Jesus. And you know that in doing that, I have faced all this persecution and troubles. We live in a time, though, don't we, today, where people will claim, if you are a good Christian, if you do everything right, then your life is going to be easy. But this isn't what the Bible teaches. In fact, we saw that, didn't we, just a few weeks ago when we were in 1 Timothy, where Paul writes this. He says, they have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think godliness is a means to financial gain. Paul was a model of the Christian life. Now, of course, he wasn't perfect, but he sought to be as Christ-like as possible. And in that, he was never rich, but he faced so many persecutions. And Paul goes on, as we look in that passage, he goes on to remind Timothy. He says, you know all about Antioch. You know all about Iconium. You know all about Lystra and what went on there. Now, those 3 places were special places on his journey. You can read about them in the book of Acts. Antioch. Antioch was the first place that Christians were called Christians. We like that name, don't we, now? But then they used it to mock them. Look at these people carrying on just like little Christs. They're Christians. Antioch was also the place where Paul and Barnabas were sent out on the first missionary trip. But Antioch was also the place where Jews went from to Lystra so that they could go and stone Paul. Iconium, another place he went to, the people there decided they wanted to stone Paul. Now, fortunately for Paul at that stage, he found out about it and he was able to leave the town early. But then he gets to Lystra, and there in Lystra they do stone him. In fact, they think that they have killed him, and they throw his dead body out of the city walls. They thought he was dead. So why is Paul telling Timothy all this? Why is Paul telling him how hard it's going to be? Well, I used to be a builder. And my father had a builder's merchant. A builder's merchant's somewhere a bit like Home Pro or Global Home. Except for my father sold a lot more blocks and cement and bricks and things like that. And if someone wanted us to order something, we would always do what we call under-promise and over-deliver. And what I mean by that is if they asked us to order something and we knew that normally the delivery comes on Wednesday, we would say, we'll make sure that we have it here for the weekend for you. You see, because if it arrived a day late and came on a Thursday and I phoned up those people and said, your delivery is here, they think it's come 2 days early and they're really excited about that. But if I told them I was going to deliver it on Wednesday, but it came on Thursday, they think that I have... I've let them down. In fact, just the other day, we were in the Dukes. There was the fellowship committee were in there. And one of the orders had been forgotten. And so we spoke to the waitress, and the waitress said to us, it's just going to be another minute. But she knew that actually it's been forgotten, and the chef had to cook that. Now, if she'd said, I'm sorry, we've forgotten it, the chef will cook it, it will be 20 minutes, and then it turned up in 15 minutes, we would think, wow, well, that was really good, wasn't it? But because she said 1 minute and it had come in 15, we were disappointed with her. And you see, I think that this is just what Paul is doing. He's telling the true cost. And I think sometimes we have a problem when we see missionaries going out. We tell them how wonderful it's going to be, and we say, you know, you're going to be so blessed. We overpromise, and so when they find out the reality, and especially in a place like Laos or China, the reality is going to be very different. They get shaken. We should never overpromise. We should have the reality and understand the costs that are going on. You see, of course, God is always going to be with them if they are doing his will, but just because God is with you does not mean that he will always calm the storm. And of course, Jesus has promised never to leave us or forsake us, but that does not mean that we might not face death from someone. This is not a nice thing to talk about, is it, as we think about sending people? But Jesus did warn, count the cost. Make sure you know what you are committing yourself for. Do not be encouraged to put on rose-tinted glasses to make things look better than they really are. If you side with me, I promise you will face troubles. I was concerned, actually, as I was writing this. Is this really what I should be speaking on today? And I have the Bible app on my telephone, or on my phone. And do you know what the verse for today is? The verse for today is Matthew 5, verse 10. It says this, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to know that if we are sending people, if we are here, God does not promise that we are going to have a happy life. What he promises is that we are in a battle. We're going to face it, but he will always be with us. Last week, we had a look at this guy called Eliud Kipchoge, didn't we? The marathon runner who ran, the first person to run a marathon in under 2 hours. Can you imagine what a nightmare it must have been to run that race? He must have been absolutely shattered and exhausted, but he kept on running and he kept on going. But do you know how he kept on going? In fact, those of you that were here last Sunday will know how he kept on going. You see all the guys in black behind? They were actually, before he came to the final, they were running around him. They were protecting him from the wind so that he could run a bit faster. He had a car that had a laser beam in front of him so that that laser beam beamed on the road so they knew exactly where they should run so they could be most effective. Now, only Kipchoge ran the full distance, so he must have had maybe 14 helpers or maybe 21 helpers. Plus he had special drinks and food that was provided for him so he could run the race. There must have been 30 people that were surrounding him and helping him to do this. Do you know, that's exactly what we need to do when we send people out. First Thai Church, I want to encourage you. You're sending people out. They need all of you to be there to support them, to care for them, to pray for them, to send emails. And especially when times get tough, they need to know that you are there to care for them. CMCC, you too know that many people here are here as missionaries working in this area and surrounding countries. They are in the midst of a battle too, and they need to know that we are here to care for them and to protect them and to help them. But the big question is, why on earth, if you know that you're going to face all this persecution, why on earth would you do it? And of course, the reason is because we recognize the value of the life-changing, unchanging message of the Lord Jesus. There is such value in the message. Let's just look at those verses again in verse 14. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those who you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then, of course, there's a similar verse in Romans chapter 1, 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Timothy, you have known Scripture from childbirth. Your mother and your grandmother have taught it to you. You know the value of this life-changing message. Timothy, you have to go to teach because you know that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. These are the words of God. These are the have a life-changing effect on those that are here. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to Gentiles. Why would you face such opposition? The reason is that in our hands we have the Scripture. We have the truth of the gospel. We have the only way that can bring salvation to those who have not heard. We have the Word of God, which is able to train people, to help them so that they will not get misled or deceived by others that would come and tell them things that aren't the truth. We have this guidebook that helps us to train others, to show them how they can live in a way that is pleasing to God. We have a manual that is designed to equip people so that they can live lives that reflect the good works that God wants them to lead. We have the life-changing message, something that nobody else has. In the UK, we have a television program which is called Saving Lives at Sea. It's an amazing program. It's about lifeboat men and lifeboat women. And they actually have cameras connected to them so that you actually see the different stories as they go out to rescue these different people. Why on earth would you face seas like this? Why would they go out? The reason is because they have the skills and they have the equipment that is needed. And in 99% of the time, they go out and they have exactly what is needed for that sinking ship, for those sailors that are in distress. We are the same as those lifeboat men and women. We see people caught up in the storms of life. We see people who are caught up in this mad world, a world that's gone mad, and we have the skills and we have the equipment that is needed to go into that storm and to guide them safely out and to bring to them the life-changing message of Jesus. Paul reminds Timothy that there is a cost. Just as there is a cost to be a lifeboat man, there is a cost of following Jesus. There is a cost of going to serve him. Timothy, this is a battle. Those who are being sent out from the church need to know this is a battle that you're going in, and there may be casualties. And just like Paul, and just like Nan Chai, and just like Noi Soon Ya, so it is for many of our brothers and sisters, and it may be one day for us, we too may have to face persecution. But as a good soldier, we need to be prepared for that battle. And as I reminded you last week, and you already know, how do we prepare ourselves? We get to know Jesus. We spend time studying his word. We take time to pray and make sure we know his will for us. First Thai Church, CMCC, remember our responsibility as well. If we send someone, we need to be there to care for them, to help them, knowing that they cannot do it by themselves. But we also need to support each other because we are all in a battle. And by supporting each other, we will help each one be victorious when the devil seeks to destroy us. Each of us, let's do all that we can to support and help each other in the battle that we face. In Matthew 9:27, Peter is talking to Jesus. And he says this, he says, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Jesus knows exactly the persecutions that our brothers and sisters and our friends are facing. And this passage reminds us that even if we have to pay with our lives, Jesus will not forget. We go because we have a hope for a dying world. We have the gospel, the life-changing gospel. We go because it is the power that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And that's all of us. And of course we go too, because it's what Jesus has commanded us to do. In Matthew 8:29, Jesus says, "Go into all nations." Do you know the amazing thing about that? I just thinking about it the other day. Israel is in Asia. We're in Asia. Jesus commanded his disciples to go into the whole of the world from Asia. And we have our brothers and sisters from the Thai Church going, obeying that in Asia. They are obeying an Asian Jesus to go into the whole world. What a privilege that is for the rest of us who don't come from Asia but are here now. We are here in Asia, in the same continent that Jesus sent people out into the world. May God help each one of us to be prepared for that battle that we face, and may he fill us with joy as we seek to fulfill his command to take this life-changing, unchanging gospel to his world. Amen.
Thank you so much for that challenge, Pastor Simon. We have to put ourselves in God's hands to prepare us to be obedient to that call, the call to serve. And in our closing song, we're going to ask the Lord to take us and mold us, to use us and fill us. So why don't you stand together, and we're going to sing this together, The Potter's Hand.